This is First Baptist Church for Sunday, April 21st, 2024.
Open our Bibles. The scripture for today will be Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. You find it, just say amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 6, verse 9. Beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you should show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. Verse number 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he can swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he attained the promise. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to come here today. I pray, Lord, that your spirit fill this place. Empty me, Lord, and fill me with your spirit. Open our hearts and our minds that we may receive today what thus saith the Lord, and we may be changed by the word of God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sister Carol has been saying, Reverend Davis, are you going to bring the house down again? And I just want to let you know, I am not here for that purpose. If God brings the house down, he can do that.
Amen.
But what I am here for is so that God's people can be encouraged. And the morale of God's people could be lifted. Because I see it day in and day out, and God has impressed upon my heart that we need to be lifted. Because there are forces at work that are seeking to demoralize anyone and everyone who have put faith and trust in the promises of God.
Amen.
And their intended end, which has been from the beginning, it's just that it's our time now, is to turn everyone from trusting in the one true God and to turn and worship someone else. And hopefully after today, the morale of God's people is lifted just a little bit. And our witness to the promises of God are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And the light that is in us may shine just a little bit brighter. And those who have yet to come in will see that light and come in and experience what you and I know. That we serve a God who keeps his promises to all who believe in him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That being said, the title of today's message is Confidence in the Promises of God. Now, there are many philosophies about the existence of God. We know about theism. There's monotheism. And the three major monotheistic religions are Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. Then you have polytheism, which means there are many different gods. After that, we have atheism, where the person believes and says, God does not exist at all. Then we have agnosticism. God may exist, but we cannot know who he is at all. Then we have pantheism, where God and nature are one. God is impersonal. God is in that chair. God is in the tree. God is in you. God is in me. But there's a new word and term that has come in this day and age, and it's called apatheism. The apathistic person can care less whether God exists or not. This permeates the world in which we live in. It doesn't matter if God exists, and our children and grandchildren and everybody else is falling prey to this philosophy. So I want to talk a little bit about demoralization today. And demoralization is the total destruction of morale, causing one to lose confidence and hope. You ever been there? You ever been demoralized when all your confidence and hope has left? Now, when you lack confidence, you begin losing hope, and when you lose hope, you become vulnerable to doubt, making our hearts fertile ground to grow unbelief. Now, the psychological effect of this kind of demoralization produces a sense of shame. Shame attributed to you for having misplaced your confidence. You trusted in something, you trusted in someone, and that something let you down. You are ashamed because you align yourself to someone or something, and that someone and something failed you. You ever been there? Paul, in his epistle to the Romans, says that his confidence was not misplaced. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power unto God to salvation for all that believe. Pastor Dennis says it's one of the most inclusive statements of all time.
Amen.
To all that believe, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by works.
By faith.
The just shall live by faith.
Amen.
Amen. He later goes on and says, whoever believes on Jesus will not be put to shame. Paul's confidence in the gospel and your confidence in the work of Jesus Christ is not misplaced, people of God. It is not misplaced. Now, the book of Hebrews contains numerous themes. One theme is the warning against losing confidence and turning back from trusting in the promises of God. This is something that plagued God's people throughout redemptive history. It plagued God's people back when they were delivered from Exodus. It plagued them in the wilderness. And it plagued them throughout the Old Testament. We have been studying the books of Judges, and time after time after time, God would deliver his people, and they would always go back and turn from him and worship other gods. So that is one thing. The second theme that runs throughout Hebrews is the perfecting of those who worship the Lord God. We have this warning from turning from God to worship other gods and stop trusting in his promises. And then we have this promise that those who worship God would some way be perfected. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Now, I don't know about you, but the word perfection and Chris Davis don't seem to go together. And I have someone here today who loves me very dear and knows me better than anyone else, my wife, and she will confirm that. Chris Davis, perfection, nah. But in Jesus Christ, even someone like me can be perfected. And we're not talking about free of flaws, free of sin. What we're talking about, me as a worshiper and a witness to what Jesus Christ has done, will be perfected in Him. He will take somebody like me, clearly imperfect, and perfect my worship. And so while I am walking around out here, people will be able to see clearly that the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now that's some humbling stuff. And when I first experienced that, I sat down at a corner and just cried. Because I know where God has brought me from, as you do as well. But so does the enemy. And the enemy's job is to demoralize God's people and to destroy every witness in the power of Jesus Christ. But he has been defeated. Now, Jesus died once and for all when he offered himself on the cross. Now, the Old Testament sacrifice could never perfect the worshiper. And when we're talking about perfection, it's talking about perfecting them in regards to their conscience. Because every time that we come at Passover and make the sacrifice, it was a reminder to them of their sin. And they had to do it over and over and over and over again. Because it never took away their sin. It only covered them for 1 year. However, Jesus' sacrifice, through his sacrifice, the offering done once and for all, what comes through that sacrifice is the reminder to the worshiper of their sanctification. It is different when Jesus at that last supper, before he died on the cross, he was making a shift. And like Jim was talking about, no longer will you have to sacrifice over and over and over again. And once I die and raise, when you come for communion, it will not be a reminder of your sin. It will be a reminder of what I have done, and you have been sanctified in me.
Amen.
And that's the celebration that we have every time we come for communion. The Lord has put it on Pastor Brad's heart to burn it in our spirits on how joyful an occasion it is for we come to communion. No longer are we supposed to be reminded of our sin. Now, if you are not in Christ, you will be reminded of your sin. But his invitation is for all to come freely, because he died once for all.
Amen.
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 So, it is important, and getting, because remember, it's about keeping the morale of those who trust in Jesus up. Because whether you know it or not, hell has broken loose out there. It has.
Amen.
Unless you're living in a rock, and even if you're living in a rock, you probably feel a little bit of it. But it's broken loose. Things are not changing. Things have changed. But we have a God that makes promises. And he fulfills those promises. He has done it throughout history, and he will do it in our time too. The grateful thing about it is we're a part of it. And we're here to see it with our own eyes. No longer do we have to just read it in the Bible. We become part of these stories ourselves. This is a living word. This is not just a novel or a story. These words live inside of people. And you can be confident when you encounter things out there that people will be changed. So, now it is impossible for those who haven't been enlightened to this truth and have tasted of the heavenly gift and of the good and the good word of God and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit to fall away. Impossible. Not everybody believes that. But these are not my words. These are his. And they have become my conviction that once the blood of Christ have washed you over and you have been filled with his spirit, nothing can take you out of his hands.
Amen.
And trust me, if you've been around long enough, you'll know that at some point, that's going to be the only anchor to your soul. And that's something that nobody signs up for. But once you come at it on the other side, you see him a little more clearly. So, because if you could fall away, it would require that Jesus would have to sacrifice himself over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Keep counting over and over again. Think about the wrongs you have done. Think about the misdeeds you have done after you were saved. For each and every one of them, Jesus would have to die again. In my case, he would never come off the cross. But he done it once, for all, forever.
Amen.
Amen. And that's what keeps us anchored when all hell is not breaking loose out there, but it's breaking loose in here. Some of you may be going through that right about now. As they stay in the hood, the struggle is real. Real. And you know it. But our God is real too. Amen. So, now finally get to our scripture here. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 15. Through faith and patience, we will inherit the promises of God. In 9 through 10, is everybody with me? Everybody awake? All right. Chapters, verses 9 through 10, it says, "Beloved, we are confident of better things for you. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister." He extols his confidence in God as he looks upon the people. The writer of Hebrews is confident because he is persuaded beyond all doubt that God will not forget the work that is being done in his name. Every time you sacrifice to God and do his will, you are being a witness and doing work in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turning the other cheek, which is a hard one. Brother John, his past Bible study, he gave an example of turning the other cheek, or if somebody slapped you, something else, right? I'm saying somebody slapped you or something, you got to turn the other cheek. I said, Brother John, I'm still working on that. I don't know if I'm there yet. But it still requires, when it talks about, I did some study on that, it's about not seeking revenge. I don't know about you, but I was raised and I was taught It's about get back. If somebody wrongs you, you know what has to be done. But the fact is, you have to learn every offense does not require revenge. We do not have to take revenge. I do not have to offend myself. And it has really broken through for me in that area. I can turn the other cheek doesn't mean I have to let somebody come and rob my house or try to abuse my wife, you know, or kill our kids. That's not what it means. It's I don't have to revenge offenses against me. And that took so much weight off of this man's shoulder. And there are other ways, you know, that confidence in God working in you can show up in your own life. This is a personal thing. I don't know what's going on in your life. I don't know what you're facing. But I do know the God who you who serve. And he will be who you need him to be in the time you need him to be that. Do I have any witnesses? Amen. So the writer of Hebrews is confident because he is persuaded that God will not forget the work done in his name, and God will not forget you and the work and labor you are doing in his name. Verses 11 through 12, it says, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." He has confidence in God. When we become demoralized, we lose hope and we lose trust in the promises that God has given to us, then we are to remain diligent by following the example of those who have gone before us. When we get in that condition, we are supposed to look through his word or look around us. There are many examples sitting right here in this room of people who have remained faithful through some very difficult times. There are people in this book where we can look and see who have remained faithful through some very difficult times. Even though the struggle is real, the struggle is not overwhelming to you if you put faith in God's promises. I'm going to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 because it says, putting faith in God's promises, it says by faith in chapter 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. And by it, the elders and young folks too obtained a good testimony. By faith, Abel gave a better sacrifice than Cain. Then it goes on and lists by faith Abraham, by faith Isaac, by faith Jacob, by faith Moses, by faith David, by faith Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, by faith Paul, by faith Jim, by faith John, by faith Carol, by faith Steve, by faith Margo, by faith Larry, by faith you all in here have at some point in time been the witness and trusted in the promises of God. But it also says to give us strength for when we go through in verses chapter 11, verse 36 and following, it says, "Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having attained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Verse 40, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from you. Chapter 12, verse 1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet rested, you have not yet resisted unto bloodshed, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons. My sons, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him, for the Lord God loves who he chastens. When we are demoralized, we have examples that we are supposed to follow and continue to endure. And then in verse 11 through 12, verse 13 through 15, be confident in God, remain diligent, and you will endure to the end. It is a promise. We've seen it done in the past and in this book, and we've seen it done amongst us. So be confident in God, remain diligent, and you will endure to the end. Because the promises of God are a sure foundation, and you can depend on them, regardless of what is going on around you, regardless of what is going on inside you. See, God made a promise to Abraham that all the families on earth will be blessed through him. And 400 years he was silent. And then when he spoke, the New Testament opens in Matthew 1 with the genealogy of Jesus, connecting him through David to Abraham, saying that all the families will be blessed through Abraham. And we know the story of Jesus, because he died. Everyone who believes is saved through him, and all the promises that were made by God to his people, if you're in Christ, belong to who? Yes! Who?
Us.
Yes, me. Yes, claim it. These are your promises. These are your gifts. These are yours. They've been purchased for you and they're free. And it's such a glorious thing. Because other people need to see it. Because right now, Jesus is sitting down on the right hand of the Father, waiting for when the last person is brought in. He's going to stand up, and he's coming back apart from sin for your salvation. You ain't experienced salvation yet. We wouldn't be dealing with all this stuff if we experienced our salvation. That's why we have to be rooted in the promises of God and keep us moving and focus on him. And each and every day we get closer to the promises. And each and every day, the perfection of imperfect people takes place. And you have a front row seat to the work that God is able to do.
Amen.
And we know God is a miracle worker, right?
Amen.
That's right. That's right. And he reveals himself, bringing each and every one of us in. And when that last person comes in, and the devil knows this, he knows his time is short, but he can't stop it. So we have to do our work and be witnesses. Doesn't mean you got to stand out on the corner with a bullhorn and screaming and hollering. But if God calls you to do that, we're with you, we'll pray for you, be my guest. Maybe you just need to be a good father.
a good husband, a hard worker. Pray, fast, read your Bible. Don't curse nobody out. You know, I don't know what God, you know, whatever God is leading you to do to be a witness of Him working in you, then do it. Because He's using that to call people out of the world into His kingdom, just like He did for you. Now it says, these are all written for our learning, that you and I, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Now all the promises of God are fulfilled in the work of Jesus Christ. Christ offered Himself to bear the sins of many, and the promise is to those who eagerly wait for Him, is that He will appear a second time apart from sin and salvation for you and I. Be confident, in summation, be confident that God remembers His promises. He hasn't forgotten you. And when you're in a situation and things are overwhelming and you're starting to doubt and lose confidence because of what may be going on with you or what you may be seeing on the news or what may be happening with your kids or grandkids or family, a job, I don't know, at church, remember, God doesn't forget His promises, and He doesn't forget the people whom He had made promises to. One. Number two, be diligent and endure in following the examples of those who were set before you in hope. Read this. Allow the Holy Spirit to open your hearts and your minds so you can see. We are now a part of the cloud of witnesses. Read this. Pick up the phone. Call Pastor Brad. Call Pastor Dennis. Call me. Call each other. That's what we're here for. On top of that, because there's witnesses right in our midst. You don't have to carry this burden by yourself. Number three, if you do those things, you will receive what God has promised you. Now, I just talked about some general promises, but there are some specific promises for you in your situations. I don't know what they are. It's your job to find them out. He will reveal it to you. You're all in situations because everybody in here is living. So we're all in some kind of situation. Find out what God promises to you beyond salvation, because we all have that. But what is He promising for you individually, specifically? Find out and then lean into it. And He will bring it to pass. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. All attempts to demoralize you and to keep you from trusting in God's promises are overcome in Jesus Christ. I'll let you down. The other pastors will let you down. Your wife will let you down. You will let her down. Kids will let you down. You'll let them down. You know, we'll all let each other down because our trust and foundation is not one another. Our trust and foundation is in God. And we do not have to lose that in spite of what we may be going through. And finally, He will perfect that which concerns you. Psalms 138, verse 8. If you get a chance, read that psalm. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, today. We pray, Lord, that You continually fill us with the hope of Your understanding of who You are and what You have done in Your Son, Jesus Christ. Reveal to us, Lord, individually, the specific promises that You are calling us to lean into in this time of our lives. We thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for Your spirit. We thank You, Lord, for Your church. As we continue to live out the call that You have placed in our lives in this day and age, help us to be lights in a dark world.
In Jesus' name, we do pray. Let the church say, amen.
Amen. Amen.